group is that this is the last time there'll be 30 thoughts because there's now 31 teams starting in the fall.
Really?
31 thoughts. Yes.
Congratulations, Fried. You got to work harder now.
You know what? Sometimes you just got to raise the bar.
It never even occurred to me that you had 30 thoughts because there were 30 teams. That never occurred to me.
I thought he was going to stop it. It never occurred to him that you had 30 thoughts, period.
Period.
That's right. I also like Blackwell's alliteration. So between the 30 teams and alliteration, I was doomed. But Bob and Mike, there have been weeks where I'm at 21 and I'm like, you stupid so-and-so, what did you do to yourself?
So now you're adding another one to it?
Yes. Right? Got to challenge yourself, Bob.
Not really, Frege. Not really. I told you years ago, you know what, with happy.
Yes.
Matt Duchene is on the market, but there doesn't seem to be a market. Why not?
Well, I think there is a market, Bob. I just think that Colorado has set a very high price, and they're not tempted to budge off it unless they get what they want. And, you know, they had a trade. One of the things I talked about today was that the Ryan O'Reilly deal didn't turn out well for Colorado, and some of their fans really disagree with that. They feel that their prospects still have a chance, which is fine. But I think after that O'Reilly deal, you can't you have to be more certain about what you're getting for Duchene if you're going to make that trade. And, you know, I do think they want to trade Duchene. I think Duchene needs a fresh start and would like a fresh start. But the fact is they're sitting there and they've set a very high bar for a guy who's been a 30-goal scorer. And, you know, I think one of the biggest issues is that if you take a look at some of the real interesting offense for defense trades in the last couple of years, there's Drouin for Sergachev, Montreal, Tampa. There's Jones, Johansson, Columbus, and Nashville. And there's Hall for Larson, Edmonton, New Jersey. And, Bob, the thing is, all of those players were under team control for some time. You really knew that you had the option to keep those guys. Duchene is only under contract for this year and next, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. I know that concerned Carolina. I think that the price is high, so you're looking there and you're saying, we're going to give up a young, controllable player or two in return, and there's no guarantee we're going to be able to keep Duchene long-term. I think some teams are skittish about that, but I do think everyone took a timeout after July 1st, and I wouldn't be surprised if a few of the contenders try again sometime in the summer.
Friedz, there's a lot of debate within the hockey fraternity of what Matt Duchene really is because, mm-hmm. you know, his stats, his consistency have been all over the map.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen the snapshots at him at the upper level, and I think in a league where goal scoring is so difficult to find, mm-hmm. I like him. Now, there are executives out there that would say he's not, you know, this image of what he is isn't really the player that he is because of that inconsistency. Where do you stand on that, and do you think that that has hurt his market price out there in terms of what Joe Sakic is looking for?
Well, I think what it is that I think that you look at Matt Duchene as if he's the number one star on your team, you know, you might not. I think if people look at him as a complementary, like, number two as opposed to a number one cornerstone. But if you're going out and you're bringing him to a team that's got another good piece or two, like, I can understand why the Islanders want to bring him behind Tavares.
Yeah.
That, it to me, is a perfect fit for Matt Duchene. I could see a team, and I don't know if they're interested, but, for example, a team like L.A. that already has a Kopitar.
Yep.
That, to me, is a fit. I think, and I know... It's
where does he slot in Columbus?
You know, in Columbus, though, you know, he's probably, you know, that kid that they, the kid, what's his name? Wennberg.
Wennberg, yeah.
I think at least you have like a chance for both of them to be number one guys. Like, I think Pittsburgh is on the fringe of this, and I think the Penguins have to do some other things in order to even have a chance. I'm not really sure if they have.
Like trading Kessel?
There. But I think that Pittsburgh would be the kind of team that, just like Kessel thrived there,
yep.
I think a guy like Duchene would too.
Well, you mentioned Kessel, and yeah. There is speculation, a Pittsburgh columnist believing Kessel will be traded sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting assessment, and I think in Pittsburgh's case, it ties entirely to cap, does it not?
He's at $6.8 million against their cap, yes, because Toronto's got like a chunk of that. But yes, I think that would be a part of it. But I wonder, a couple of guys I was talking to about it yesterday say that Pittsburgh would probably have to eat some of that. I don't know where you're looking at a team that would want to take the full 6.8. But I do think that that speculation has some merit. I think the Penguins have, at the very least, looked at it. I don't think it's necessarily a guarantee that it's going to happen, Bob. But I do think Ron Cook, who was the columnist who wrote that, was not wrong, at least in the idea of Pittsburgh investigating it.
All right, thoughts on who might be interested in Kessel?
Well, I think, Mike just said it. I mean, you're always looking for scoring, right? Like, it's a league that's really tough to score in. And, the number one team that would jump out at me right now, and it's an interesting dynamic for them. I'm not sure how it could all work, but, Rick Tocchet's in Arizona. I don't know how it could all work, but to me, if Arizona wanted to do that and could do it, I think it makes some sense. It's purely conjecture on my part, Bob, but there's some logic to it.
Well, hey, Tockett's going to be on with Bob later on in the show. He can ask him.
So maybe you can get him busted for tampering on his first official day.
Yeah, besides, he's the head coach, not the GM. I thought you'd mention Montreal, because anytime you talk about offensive needs, it invariably leads us to the Montreal Canadiens, who have, they need offense. It's pure and simple. But hard to imagine them taking on another big contract.
Plus, Bob, Phil in the spotlight of Montreal. Haven't we seen this rodeo before?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the best fit. But I do think that Mark Bergevin has... I do think that Mark Bergevin is still looking to... He's still at the plate taking one of those...
I agree, he has to.
Edwin Encarnacion-sized swings waiting to connect on something.
I agree. I mean, I don't know whether it's Kessel, and I don't know whether he sees something he likes, but we all know what the Montreal Canadiens need. Yeah. They need somebody who can put the biscuit in the basket on a consistent basis. And Kessel, say what you want about him. Is he a one-way player? But he can score goals.
Yes, he can.
He did it in Boston. He did it in Toronto. Yep. And he's done it now in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
He's done it on the first line. He's done it on the third line. He's done it no matter what you do, he scores goals. And those guys do not grow on trees.
And it's hard to score in this league because the coaches defenses are so good.
Well, and the coaches don't teach offense. They don't really care about offense. Tocchet in Arizona, before we get off that topic.
Yep.
Is this a graveyard for potentially for Rick Tocchet?
I do think that he had people who said to him, "Are you sure?" And the one thing I like about him is that he's not afraid. Bob, for one thing, I spoke to him about it the other day. He's 53 years old. He knows that. As a matter of fact, I was told by some guys who knew him that the reason Tocchet almost wasn't interested in interviewing there was not because it could potentially be a graveyard, as you call it, but because he wanted to try to go for the three-peat in Pittsburgh. And they thought that was something that was really important to him, and he might stay. And he did admit that. But, I think you look at Tocchet, like, this is a guy who was a late-round draft pick, who grinded into a great career.
Yep.
And I don't think he's afraid. I think he looks at, like, and the thing I really was interested in my conversation with him was, he said that the owners and the general manager there, they didn't lie to him about the state of the franchise. They said, look, we're not a cap team right now. A lot of this bases on getting the arena sorted out, but we believe in what you can do, and we want you to build our culture. And that's the way you appeal to that guy. Bob, I think it's easy to say that it's not a job that a lot of guys would take. There's only 31 of them. And he looked at it at age 53, and they made him a very competitive offer. I know that some coaches, I think it's about $1.5 million a year. I know some coaches were surprised that Arizona anteed up like that. I think he looked at it like, this is my, could be my chance, and I'm going to take the challenge, and I respect that about him.
I'm never going to be critical of a guy who takes a job, and yeah. and Tockett's had a run as being a head coach, albeit a brief one, right?
Yep.
But don't you think if he'd stayed put, whatever the reason, that he's a guy who becomes a candidate for almost any job that becomes available?
You know, I do, in theory, I agree with you. I think a lot of us thought he would be a candidate in Buffalo this year,
yeah.
And it never happened.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he gets scared. Maybe he gets scared that, you know, I'm going to make, a quarter of that money or less as an assistant coach the rest of my life, and I really want to... I understand you want to be a head coach.
And you're competitive.
Sure, I get it. But boy, you almost have to close your eyes and plug your nose if you're going to go to Arizona. It's just, it's been a graveyard for everybody, including Wayne Gretzky, mm-hmm. As a coach. The economics of the franchise are questionable. The future of the franchise is in doubt. It doesn't look like it's staying in Glendale, but it doesn't really have any place else to go. Ownership is, you got one owner now, don't you?
Yep.
You got one owner, and who the hell knows what yeah. he's capable of doing.
Yeah.
And
the one thing, Bob, is they made their team better.
They did that for sure.
They did make their team better. And, you know, it's an interesting division in the NHL right now. There's a few teams in that division that are really undergoing identity change. You've got an expansion team there. Like, I don't think this is a playoff team this year.
No, I don't either.
But I do think they have a chance to be better. And I think the other thing, too, is these next 2 years in Arizona are also about making Oliver Ekman-Larsson happy. And there's only one way you can do that.
Win.
And that is at least be better. Yes.
Well, here's the other thing, Friedge. That they have a nice cachet, potentially, of prospects, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe they look at Rick Tockett and say, maybe this guy can get, Domi's been pretty good, but Duclair's been all over the map. We'll see what happens with Dylan Strome. We can go down the list.
I like that Keller kid.
Yes, Casey Keller for sure. Maybe they look at Tockett and say, you know what? There's more here in the cupboard than maybe a lot of people are giving us credit for, because it hasn't really transformed into victories the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's all true. I think they're, you know, they look, I think the way that a lot of things got handled there, I saw Barroway, the owner, admitted today that if he could handle the Shane Doan situation over again, he would do it differently, although he stood by it as a hockey decision. I think the organization, you know, you forget that 5 years ago, Arizona was in the Stanley Cup semifinal. They lost to the Kings in the Western Conference final. And they stagnated. I think everybody there got a bit worn down, tired. They're too comfortable. And I think it's going to be, like, for guys like Tippett and Jim Playfair, I think it's going to be better for them that they're going to go find a challenge somewhere else. I think the organization needed a fresh breath. And they've got a chance at it now.
I think the shelf for life did run out for some of the guys there, for sure.
I agree.
Pierre Turgeon hired by the Kings as offensive coordinator, which is really interesting, because now they're stealing titles from the National Football League.
Does Kopitar call his own plays, or does he get him from the bench?
Well, I think he gets.
He's the short yardage fullback.
Well, you know, I have a phrase that I use all the time when it comes to offense. You can't teach touch. You can look at it, you can smell it, you can observe it, you can recognize it, but you can't teach it. Either you got it or you don't. So, offensive coordinator in the National Hockey League, good luck.
You know, Bob, I don't disagree with you in there, but I had a chance to speak to John Stevens, the head coach, the other day, and I thought it was really interesting what John Stevens said. He said, look, like, John Stevens was a grinding, hard-playing defenseman.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
His two assistant coaches, Dave Lowry and Don Nackbauer, those were tough, grinding players. He said, we needed somebody who looked at the game a bit differently. And I think what they're looking at is, can we take this guy who was a gifted offensive player and have him go to our other guys and say, all right, this is how we're going to take your skills and put them in places that work. In the last few years, if you go by the shots metrics, and I know how much you like analytics, Bob, the LA Kings have been one of the most dominant possession teams in the NHL, but they've been one of the worst scoring teams. And they're looking at that and they're saying, okay, how are we getting all these shots and not scoring? And one of the things they have looked at is they didn't get to the net, they didn't do enough in the middle of the ice. And I think what they're going to say to Turgeon is, take our player skills, look at what the how the other teams are defending us, and give us ideas on how to attack.
I'm curious
about if he's going to be on the bench during games. They haven't kind of worked on that yet.
I respect the decision. I admire the decision. I'm encouraged by the decision to at least identify offense as an important part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, the essence of what you just said is he's going to try and teach them touch, and they get shots. They get chances, they can't score goals. That's what touch is, and you can't teach it. It just, either you got it or you don't. And I wish him good luck. Quick, Friedge.
Can we get it to areas where we didn't get it to before?
Maybe that's what it's about. But
I think they got to get younger, Friedge. You know, all this offense and stuff is great. They signed Mike Camilleri, but they got to get younger.
Yeah,
they need their prospects, no doubt.
Friedge, we got to go. You have an extra thought to think about. Carry on. Don't hurt
My
yourself.
My extra thought is, Bob, it's always great to talk to you. See you, Zeiss.
Thank
See you,
pal.
Buddy.
Elliot Friedman.